Okay, we can begin. We have a quorum. So I will call the meeting to order at 2:05. We have a sign-up sheet. We have one guest, Mr. Bill Chester. Welcome. Nice to see you. And here we are. Now we have a quorum plus. How are you, Chuck?
Super quorum.
Super quorum. So we have a very healthy agenda today, and we will not be approving the minutes. Jane has been called to other duties, but she promises as of Wednesday to be back on track, and we'll get the minutes of today's meeting as well as our last meeting for approval.
Promises, promises.
Those are promises that, will be, that I know will be kept.
We are starting so well.
So, with a quorum, Josh, we're going to talk about Pleasant Beach, the Village Pool, and the addition, correct? Actually, the addition.
Yeah.
And the resort.
Yes.
And what?
And the resort.
The resort.
Oh, yeah. So we'll start with the addition. So you want to talk to us about it? Anything we should be aware of? It's 500 square feet, is that correct?
Yeah, so it's a second story addition. It's a second story addition. It's going over the section that was previously a second story deck over off that end. So just on this end portion.
Right.
I don't know if it needs any other significant changes, except in addition to the addition, they're addressing the outdoor storage.
Right, trellis.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of a trellis and open area for bicycles. So you have, and that's going to go kind of down in front of the pool along that road as you come up. And you've got kind of an enclosed area where they've got semi-enclosed, I guess. It doesn't have a roof, it just has this trellis feature on it. But you have that area for the pool chemicals and stuff, and then the trash recycling enclosures, and then kind of this trellis-covered bicycle parking.
Bicycle parking.
Yeah.
On the second floor, is there a second floor usage that we know?
I think it's proposed as that's kind of this gym space. It's a combination of, like, one point in time they were talking about having like ancillary daycare type stuff. I don't know if they've quite figured it out, but I believe that, you know, as proposed, it was kind of this this gym area in addition to the pool. It would be sort of that. So primarily, it's this on-site gym.
So they just sort of added 500 feet to what they don't know they're going to use.
I think it's associated with the gym.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know how much association the gym has with pool facilities, or if it'll be, you know, if it's going to be equipment room or, you know, jazzercise, or if it's going to be more of a, you know, meeting room up there. But
they should be able to tell us.
Yeah.
What they mentioned the last time was that whatever that is, the pool, the area around it, the inside dressing areas, and possibly upstairs gym would be all part of a membership package, as I recall. So we'll ask them about it.
Do they have these entry rooms?
Where the
That's the part I didn't ask.
But you're talking about the second lane, right?
No, second lane, sure. Yeah, so it's probably an entry exit to the doors. Is this coming off the parking lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's down to the wall here. So this is always an exit or entry.
Good question to bring up. Jim, anything for you?
No, Mark.
Nothing about the trash containers?
No, that's going to wait for you. I got that little foot. You bring it up there.
Okay. Chuck?
No, I'm assuming the additional square footage doesn't trigger other requirements. So it can be a...
No, we've looked at the... Yeah, we looked at the parking. We had one sufficient parking on the site with the addition, kind of... Okay. Plan on maximizing the parking, and as you'll see with the resort, that's going to be by the overall, they still have sufficient amount of parking.
Alan?
No.
Nothing on the addition.
Okay. No, but in general, Josh, does the city feel that the landscaping within the parking is... okay, there's then some little fingers to break up the.
So, that was on the previous site plan review. They're required to have, there's a certain percentage of parking lot landscaping they have to have. They have to have parking in the aisles, or landscaping in the aisles, and then they have to plant a certain number of trees in or around the parking lot based on the number of stalls we have.
So it's, in this case, it's around the parking lot,
yeah.
Not in the...
Yeah. We don't... You know, years ago, the city had had regulations in the parking standards and said you could only have so many, so many stalls, like 10 stalls in a row before you had some type of a landscaping feature.
Yeah.
And it got dropped out of the code until maybe 12 years ago.
Oh. Okay.
Anything else, Jim?
No, that's good. Okay.
Well, let's get into the interesting part of the resort.
Okay. So the resort is, you may be aware that, a few years ago, the city council changed its zoning regulations in this in the NSC zone to allow for inns. And in doing so, inns were, a definition for inn was added, and an inn was not a hotel and a motel, but consisted of 15 sleeping rooms or less. Okay? And so, that's what they've proposed to do as part of this inn associated with this project.
This
in review today.
Affiliated with the ones already there, or are they separate?
Separate.
So how does this all add up to still meet the code because they're operating an inn at the moment? Is this not an addition to what they're doing at the moment?
This is on a separate lot. It's a different,
so there could be multiple inns.
Yeah, you could have multiple inns. I mean, just like you could have anywhere else, you could have multiple businesses. I mean, it's on a separate lot. And as you know, this is the lot on which this is proposed is the donut hole, which the last 10, 12 years, Kathy Hannon kind of held out in the middle of this project while everything got built up around her. And I think you can see this in the...
And the value of the land went up.
Yeah, of course. So this is this piece right here. And, all of the Pleasant Beach Village has kind of occurred around it. And finally she has agreed and the price was right, and she's agreed to abandon her single-family residence there in Melk, and Mr. Jacoby has purchased that and has proposed opinion on that piece. So as proposed, it's there's a primary, I guess you want to call it the primary inn building on the north side, and then you've got the seven detached kind of cottage units, I guess, kind of lack of a better word, little detached inn units that, and a couple of them have two bedrooms, and then several are proposed with basically one bedroom, but a kind of an open sleeping loft. And we already, the directors kind of already made a determination that those that have the sleeping loft, that sleeping loft doesn't really constitute a second bedroom because it doesn't have, can't be separated out. There's not, can be closed off in other bedrooms. It doesn't have its own bathroom, et cetera.
So, it does according to the plan. At least the plans we got. It doesn't have a separate entrance, but if you look at the two-bedroom cottage floor plans, the bedroom two upstairs has its own bath, and the bedroom one downstairs has its own bath.
So there's some with two bedrooms for sure. And then there's the one that is...
So all the cottages are either a one-bedroom with loft or a two-bedroom?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's the first piece, the one-bedroom cottage with loft. That's that second sheet in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bedroom. But you can see you kind of go up the ship ladder to this open sleeping loft, but it's not really, couldn't really rent out just the loft. It's open to the downstairs, and it doesn't have a separate bathroom, it doesn't have a separate door, and it's open to this as well. So while it may provide, sleeping for your kids, it's not really a two-bedroom unit. As far as the code is concerned.
What's the importance of the distinction? Is it
parking
requirements? Or?
Well, the issue is that, one, it could change parking requirements, but I think the more important issue is that it wouldn't constitute, you can't have more than 15 bedrooms or 15, units within the inn definition. If you have more than that, then you're a hotel and it's not permitted in the zone.
Oh, okay.
Where is the parking for this? Are they going to be using any managed parking?
So it's a combination, and that's why...
looks like it's adjacent.
It's the parking throughout the whole development is being calculated for parking in its entirety. So they had, as they've gone through these different stages, they've created some additional parking, but they've always had some excess parking. And so in what they provided, I think Charlie provided a zoning summary, which has a parking lot. If you do that, I have a parking lot calculations for the entire development.
So Josh, how do they get away with calculating the parking for the whole development, but they don't do a room count for the whole development? It seems like
it's kind of like shared. If you look at I guess the most closest thing that we have around here would be the pavilion. So the pavilion has some parking on their site for the theater. They have shared parking that is basically from downtown. They have some shared parking at Four Swallows. They have some shared parking at the Ryden Building across the street. They have shared parking at the building just north of us. So it's, and that's one of the things that they're going to have to deal with as part of their site plan review is providing, those shared parking agreements or easements or whatever, so they can show us that they have, in essence, where their dedicated stalls are. And it very well may be those ones that are along its path, along the roads and Woodson Lane. These are all private lanes. So those may be their quote-unquote dedicated parking spaces for the development.
But is there a tally at some point? I mean,
yeah.
Because you're talking about a lot of uses. I mean, you can share parking.
No,
and the uses are compatible at different times. All the uses here actually stomp on top of each other.
Yeah, a lot.
So there's not a lot of shared opportunities. Yeah. And the pavilion.
When I say shared parking, unlike the pavilion where there's truly a, there's a difference between daytime use and evening use. When I say shared parking, it isn't really shared parking. They have enough parking. The only shared parking that's going on in this entire development is the units directly above the commercial units got a reduction in one parking stall per unit when they built the buildings, the four buildings in the front. And that's written into the code that if you are building above commercial units, you go from two parking stalls to one. Other than that, there isn't any technically shared parking use. Although it's likely that you'll have, some shared trips in here. People that may stand in certainly may use the pool and may eat at the restaurants in this area. But each use basically has, and Charlie's calculated out, each use has its so many designated parking stalls in accordance with the code regulations. So
the only thing that I dropped, you said at the very beginning, construction of 15 will be in with off-site parking. Parking shall be provided on the street along Pitts Path Lane. The project will include a boundary line adjustment to enlarge the lot to meet lot coverage requirements. Now, that's, he says it, and then I see nothing more about it. What does that mean?
Boundary line adjustment?
Yeah.
So, right now, as proposed, is the amount of building footprint on this property most likely exceeds the allowance for that zone.
Right.
So he's proposing to basically do a boundary line adjustment to basically enlarge that property with either a portion of this adjacent property up in the woods or over on a portion of the manor property. They have excess. If you look at the entire
development. So Jacoby has the property.
Oh yeah. Okay. And it's one of these. They'll figure that out where it's going to go. But overall, their development within the NSC zone, they have excess floor area available. It's just a matter of where you draw those lot lines that no one can see.
Okay.
So is the whole property zone all the same?
No. Well, not the whole property. It's split zoned. So as you remember with the pool, half of it was in the R4 zone and half of it is in the NSC zone.
Okay, so how can he do a boundary
line adjustment
into another zone?
He wouldn't.
He can't.
Yeah, he wouldn't be doing it. Because that wouldn't grant him any additional floor area because there's floor area or the lot coverage for that particular development is tied to that zone. So he'll do a boundary line adjustment with another NSC zone. This property, the former Hannon property, is entirely within the NSC zone. the rest of the woods up here, so most likely they'll be doing a boundary line adjustment with this portion of, I guess we're parking area that is in the manor house, which may end up putting some of that parking lot technically on this lot. And could be so designated.
I have a question. So you, with this sort of thing, which what does the inn actually get the developer? A lot more density or less parking, or, you know, if it's 15 units or less? And if so, what is the parking that's required for the inn?
One space per unit.
So per 15, bedroom or per unit?
Per bedroom.
Per bedroom. Per bedroom.
No, per bedroom.
So it's 15 yeah. spaces. Okay.
Which is why they're cheating on the bedroom.
What's that?
Which is why they're cheating on the
well,
bedroom.
Well, if you want to call it cheating,
the
loft, that's fine.
The lofts aren't included. Yeah.
The lofts aren't included. Right. I mean, it's a bedroom. It shows beds.
So that doesn't require...
When you think about a bedroom, when you think about a bedroom in an inn or
with
in a motel,
yeah.
It's separate, And certainly sometimes maybe you take your family out, you end up getting two bedrooms because you want the kids to sleep in a different bedroom than here. Kathy made her decision because she just recently visited someone's inn up in Anacortes, Whidbey Island, and she said it was just like this.
Virginia.
Really? Yeah, she said it's just like this, and it had another this loft unit that it was like, yeah, I can totally see why that is, why you wouldn't necessarily need a second parking spot for that unit, it's like a,
so in that
bedroom, if you want to call it bedroom,
in those 15, so the 15 spaces, there's nothing extra. Do some of the 15 spaces require a handicap?
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's no extra, like guest, or there's nothing extra in that 15 spaces. It's just all based on the number of bedrooms.
Yeah, it's all based on the number of bedrooms.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are assuming certain things. We're assuming of the 15 units, one or two of them, depending on the code, would be handicap accessible.
Yeah.
Except for the handicap parking is not
larger
shown.
Right.
But that's something we'll talk to.
Yeah, and they're going to have to, I'm assuming that the main building has to have some handicap accessible units in there.
Right.
And there's definitely some questionable things in the, these are obviously just schematic.
No,
I understand.
I looked through there, it's like, Charlie, where does this stairway go? Charlie, how do you get to the elevator?
I just remember when we were discussing the pool at the other side of the street, that Pitts Path Lane
was the parking.
Is a steep street.
Ooh, yes.
And yet they're showing the handicapped parking on that steep street.
So which that's a good question,
and then access from any of the other parking has got steps. Mm-hmm. Around it.
Yes, and how do you,
can I go back to the bedroom count?
Sure.
If Kathy's made a ruling that a unit, an in unit, is counted as one with the loft upstairs, I don't understand why the two bedroom cottage counts as two. It's got one front door, one hotel key. And you can't rent the two bedrooms separately. Why is that counted as two? I mean,
it's a legitimate question.
Because the code defines a bedroom as a bedroom. In the exception, you're redefining a bedroom as having a bathroom. And since the sleeping loft doesn't have a bathroom, you're interpreting that as not a bedroom when in fact it's a bedroom.
Yeah, well,
that's the exception.
Right, but I'm flipping the coin the other way. If you think about this as a hospitality project, and you count the keys, which is the way you address, these are not separate keys in hospitality lingo. These are one key in a two-bedroom suite.
And I guess, for argument's sake, I'd say, well, oftentimes I'd say, oh, well, a couple couples go off and go off vacationing together, and we go down to Mexico, and we get, you know, one unit, but it has, it's a two-bedroom unit. So, yeah, we'll share keys, we'll go in, but we have our own separate bedrooms, and we're going to drive two different cars down there, or, you know, in theory.
Right.
That could be more likely than, you know, oh, I'm going to sleep up above, and, you know, there's no space. The other thing is, technically, there's no closet, you know. You talk about septic, it's always, bedrooms are always, it's only a bedroom if it's got a closet, is what constitutes a bedroom. A room that's sufficient area for sleeping with a closet is a bedroom, by, at least from the health department.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
That's why we end up with so many offices and, you know, studios and other things in homes that are not bedrooms.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm only bringing this up because it seems like the city's interpreting.
Of course, we're interpreting.
This issue in two different ways, and I just feel like Kathy could be more consistent in terms of it being a hospitality project.
Yeah. Well, and it's an interesting argument.
I mean, in a hospitality project, I would count the number of front doors to what they're renting out.
Yeah.
Now, yes, two couples could rent one of these units, but two couples could rent the one with the loft as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just have to draw the line somewhere, and I think that was...
Right, but I think that's why
but
not
it's
departing from the code. There's always a danger.
I got it.
Well, I don't know that we necessarily are departing from the code, so...
You know whether you are. You know whether you are. And the fact that she came up with an interpretation implies that it is departure.
No.
Finding a bedroom in a
departure would mean that we're not following the code, and I think we are. So I disagree.
Well, just be a minute. I'll get you.
So what would it be, what would the parking be if this was a motel per room, for instance?
Well, it's the same. Whether it's a motel or an inn, uh-huh. Parking is based on the bedrooms. It's one space per bedroom is what the code requires. So,
but what? Okay.
If you were calling a hospitality unit and you weren't going to call them, well then there's seven, and then there's there's seven detached units, right? And then I think the main. The main building, if you want to call it that,
has four.
Yeah, well, originally it had, as proposed here, it had four on each floor, and it was two floors above the main,
right.
So it had eight.
But now it has four.
And now, yeah, I think they're probably down to a single level. So.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. Any more questions?
Well, look, I think we should be asking
Charlie. I'm not following that.
Well, first thing, so right now, the parking code doesn't deal with employment.
No.
So there's no factoring for an inn or a restaurant that has dining services is likely to have more employees than people using the rooms themselves.
Well, that's the code specifically identifies the parking based on the number of rooms. And I don't know if that's just assuming that you're not going to have full occupancy or what you're going to do with parking for the employees. I found that a little interesting myself.
And right now, since the project was kind of was pioneering at the time, we don't know whether the one per unit has worked. I mean, now that we've got a manor house that's an activity center being rented for special events, and we've got the condos used, do we know yet, have any analyses been done to see what that trip generation has been on the parking area?
The resort will require a new parking study, of course, the overall, you know, when they did the first site plan, they did a parking study, or they did a, not a parking study, a traffic study, I guess.
Right.
The pool did a parking study associated with it, And, you know, of course, there's, you know, I think there's still going to be, there's still going to be some shared parking going on. And, of course, Linwood has always been, you know, fraught with, you know, parking challenge down there. Just because it's a popular spot. Right. The theater is busy, but...
Well, even using the existing restaurant, the beach house, whatever it's called.
Beach house, yes.
You can barely find a parking space on the...
Right, well, that's my concern is that in some cases...
All those uses come in here.
Sometimes the case of the code, it works fine, and in a lot of cases it doesn't. And where the code has never worked very well is when we come with entertainment uses. The pavilion,
what?
Entertainment uses.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, the pavilion has to have shared parking agreements because it's underparked.
Well,
in this area, you're likely to see some of the same thing because the activities will stack on top of each other more at the same times. So it's a worrisome issue that in this case, the code itself really isn't the protector.
Mm-hmm.
Because the activities are greater than that. But that's something hopefully the study...
It's a great problem to have down there.
Well, it's
it
not.
It is a great problem.
Well,
but
no,
at the same time, it's something that needs to be resolved because if everything is utilized at the same time, if the pool is being utilized and there's an event at the manor house and capacity at the beach house and the inn and the hotel are full and the theater... And the treehouse.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Well, it means that the temporary parking lot that's there now will be a permanent parking lot. That site will never get developed because none of these developments will have contained their parking requirements, their need requirement as opposed to the code requirements. So it'll constrain the growth of that neighborhood center.
But it's certainly a concern and something that we should make note of.
Yeah.
Good. Anything further?
No.
Okay. Charlie.
Josh, my piece is such a...
Yeah.
Do we have our sign-in sheet?
Yeah, it's under here.
I think I had some extra sets here for Jeremy, so... It's not like one, two,
three. Has anybody been to that beach house recently?
Fun.
Yeah, because now it's... It's a very busy, it's over the top busy because the four, is it called?
Close walls.
Close. They said they just have like so much business that they're using the other, the facility next door. They're walking people over there with umbrellas to sit there. And I thought at one time the beach house was hoping to expand maybe where the hotel is now, but we can have Charlie visit. He knows everything.
Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you.
So, Charlie, we're going to start with the addition to the second floor pool area. If you can explain that a little bit to us.
You bet. You guys are generally familiar with the pool project.
Just give us a couple minutes.
Yeah, we're doing, it's under construction right now, a community pool facility, outdoor pool, and adjacent to the pool is this building, which is a two-story structure. And the first floor is locker rooms and support facilities for the pool. And then the upper floor of the building is essentially tenant space, unimproved space right now. We don't. A portion of it is allocated towards commercial because the building is actually split zoned. There's a zoning boundary between NSC and R5. Retail is not allowed in the R5 zone. So essentially, two-thirds of this upstairs will be commercial, which we don't know who the tenant is yet, and the other portion will be something related to a non-retail commercial use, which we don't know yet, like a community meeting space or something. So
the gym kind of like
the gym, yeah, there's no tenant right now for the space.
Oh, okay.
So that, and again, when you go into these things, it's all, you know, hopes and dreams about who they think will occupy the space. It wasn't, there was even discussion very early on about this upper floor being directly related to the pool facility as far as all one facility. So when the ownership started looking at a commercial use on the upper floor, there was a desire to expand the footprint of the upper floor. And the original design had a 20 by 25 roof terrace on the south end of the building, and we've now essentially extended the building footprint out over that roof terrace. So that's shown in the drawing as the, I guess, what would be the southerly end of the building.
So maybe this is a question for you, Josh. So who leases this split zone use of a space which is completely open?
Well, you know,
when someone comes
for,
in for a tenant improvement?
Yeah, so when you come in for a tenant improvement, we have to look at that space based on how much zone is in. So previously, when the pool, obviously the pool is in both zones and was, you know, processed as a conditional use in both zones. Mm-hmm. And the gym at that point was proposed for us in that case. But so now that they're moving in, you know, a different direction, then you kind of have that pride relying on which, you know, which portion of the buildings in which zone.
So the parking would adjust to the use?
Yeah.
Or is there enough parking for whatever use you can put in there?
Yeah, so this whole pool was approved previously without that 500 square feet, and we had assigned parking to support an anticipated use of the upper floor. And with this expansion, we're adding, there's a higher parking requirement, and the site has probably 23 extra parking spaces.
Okay.
Above and beyond code.
So you know what I'm getting at? In other words, if you change the use here to one that might be much more intensive for
yes.
parking,
yes.
and you feel that's kind of available in your parking?
Oh, yeah. We okay. don't. We know it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charlie, talk about the trellis and the downside, the downstairs for that.
Oh,
okay. Over the addition.
Over the addition.
Under the addition.
So the part of the programming, what was under what was previously the roof terrace, was originally going to be a pool storage area, and then the owners wanted to turn that into a food drink concession area. And so now that portion of the building has been reprogrammed to have beverage facilities and a salad bar, and then extending out from that onto the pool terrace is a trellis structure, approximately 20 by 20. And that's consistent with the trellis structures that occur elsewhere around the pool deck. So we have a number of outdoor kind of covered shaded areas.
Is that so would you go back and point that out on the plan?
On the plan or elevations? Let's see if the plan is in here. Yeah, so if you have the big site plan, you guys. So the addition is here.
Right.
The expanded trellis footprint is here for the outdoor seating area. And then there's a pergola structure that extends out in an L shape. That's where all the picnic tables are. And then, yeah, so that's, and then this has all been designed to.
So where's the food and beverage bits?
Right underneath.
There's two concession areas proposed for the pool. One is down here, and the other is down at this end.
So you're actually adding 1,000 square feet, not 500 square
feet. No, we're adding 500 square feet.
Oh, no, you're adding net 500 square feet. In terms of use, you're adding 500 square feet of open room on the upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and 500 square feet of concession space or food and beverage on the downstairs.
Were
and then you're
it was a different use. Because what, the way I would characterize
because it. Because you're displacing that and having to build storage somewhere else.
Yes, so the way I would describe it, so as not to confuse people, is we're adding 500 square feet here of new space,
mm-hmm.
and then we're adding the storage building, full storage building out here, and I don't even know what the square footage on that is.
But you're only adding that because you've displaced the previous storage with another use.
This is bike parking. There's a small footprint of pool storage.
I'm not asking you to. I'm not nitpicking you about what's in it. I'm saying you've taken storage out of the main building.
Yes.
On the lower level, and converted it into.
Yes.
A leasable.
Oh no, it's not leasable. It's part of the pool facility.
Okay, it's concession.
Yeah.
Space.
Right.
It's not storage.
Correct.
It's a usable space now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's. On the downstairs, so it must be approximately 500 square feet, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you're doing 500 square feet of new construction.
Correct.
Upstairs.
Yep.
So it's 1,000 square feet in total that is being added to the pool house building.
Those are your words, not mine. I wouldn't explain it that way. But
it's
fine.
Within the footprint.
Yeah.
The footprint's not changing, and the bottom floor area was still, square footage is still there, but
yeah.
Just a different use.
I'm just wondering, Josh, we were talking about parking earlier.
Yeah,
that different use?
Well, I'm sure it would generate...
Affect the parking calculations?
Yeah.
Well, the parking for the pool was based on a parking study. So I guess presumably you could, be using here since it's not storage, instead it's concessions that, you may end up with one or two employees or something working the concession stand. I guess that could affect like both spaces, possibly.
Or not.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
And then the storage structure, which we also wanted to include in the review, there's covered bike parking, some greatly reduced amount of pool storage, and then the enclosed trash area, and then there's a small room for storing the pool chemicals.
Okay.
My understanding this is all just trellised.
The only covered piece that's actually a roof is the chemical room.
Okay.
Yeah, because it has to be one hour.
Is that this one here?
Yeah, the last little
one. It's so small. Yeah. My magnet bars can't be there.
And this whole structure is also designed with the same trellis structure roof as these other two elements we talked about just a minute ago.
Questions? Chuck?
No, I understand the issue that Alan was getting at. The parking study, was that based on potential users of the pool?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the only thing that's awkward is being around pools, the further your equipment is away from the pool, the more the operating issues are.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually you want your chemicals and you want the pool equipment stuff, near where the pool is, rather than having to separate them out. So it creates an awkwardness in terms of how the pool itself will operate.
Well, I didn't say the equipment was outside, Chuck.
Well, it's got pool storage, so.
That's for, like, floaty toys.
Well, no, I understand, but
okay,
kids aren't going to go outside to get
floaty
toys.
I thought you were talking about
bringing all those inside and right. then bringing them out. So just the logistics of you're moving mm-hmm. stuff in and out mm-hmm. constantly, because now the storage is outside
yeah.
the pool facility itself rather than inside before.
Mm-hmm.
It just creates an awkwardness that way. Mm.
Anything else? Chuck?
No, I'm fine.
Jim?
No.
Adrian?
The pool storage in the bikes, that's going to have a hard roof and then trellis, or just trellis across the top?
It'll be a trellis 100% of the length, and then under the trellis, just over the chemical room, because that has to be a fully, I think it's a one-hour rated structure, so yeah, no combustibles.
I don't have any questions, but I do feel like we need to obligate the applicant to have an ongoing explanation of allocation of parking.
Yeah. And we are doing that.
Okay.
I've got a spreadsheet that's got 10 columns and 20 rows and square footages, and so Josh and I are constantly monitoring that.
I mean,
correct, Josh?
Well, it seems like the place, the room downstairs is going to be, I'm speculating because
mm-hmm.
no one has any information about it, with this lift-up garage door, it is likely to be some kind of cafe kind of space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to attract more people, and I mean, the fact that the notion of needing at this point in time more food service here is, it sort of gets, it questions the basis of the parking analysis before, because I don't remember whether it was Chuck or whoever was saying, you know, now yeah, if you have two food service locations in this building, you've got staff at both locations.
Mm-hmm.
The calculations didn't seem to address staff previously.
I don't know that that's true. They may have. So, does it say they didn't?
No, the fact is that
well,
we don't know. We didn't see
it. Okay, I'm just saying
don't
say it didn't if we don't know.
We didn't see
it. It may not have.
We didn't see the study, but I think what we're saying is since the building is somewhat in flux,
mm-hmm.
as it will relate to a new tenant upstairs or more use downstairs, all we are suggesting is
mm-hmm.
we need to have that ongoing study of the parking to make sure we adequately service
the city needs it. You don't need it. City
no, we don't need it.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's just clarifying.
Yeah,
and I agree 100%.
I don't need it at all, actually, Josh.
No, and I completely understand that, and I'm actively doing it every time we change something, because I don't want to end up where we're run out of parking spaces.
Good.
So
and we do need, I mean, at a certain point, the design of the other phases hinge upon that parking utilization. So it's not like we can't do our jobs if we're not paying attention to what the parking demands are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's important to us. Do you know what the membership level is they're targeting for the pool?
They have 100 reservations, and I think it's 200 to 300 families they need to be able to operate the facility.
Okay. Do we know how that correlates to what the parking study was set at? I'm just saying 300 families. You can imagine 300 families on a weekend.
There are
not likely that everybody's going to show up.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to Wing Point in the summertime?
Yeah.
Well, they all show up on a sunny day at the pool. That's why it's in business.
Yeah, the parking study I know is on file, and Heath did it, and they looked at numerous other facilities. There's no exact number. It's on. It's specific to the function of the facility, the size of the pool, number of lanes, et cetera. And probably, to some extent, Alan, to the amenities, too. Yeah. You know,
well, the upper village is all within walking distance.
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of families that will walk to the facility as opposed to driving. I mean, it's...
Hopefully.
Yeah, they essentially want to do what Wing Point's doing. They want to have, you know, beverage service for the adults, which is primarily what would happen here, and then just have pre-prepared foods that they can throw in the microwave and, you know, sell ice cream cones. Right. A snack bar.
Snack bar.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Next.
Hey.
Well, is there any action that needs to be taken, Josh?
Yes, actually there is.
Oh, good.
Now, this one is the actionable item. This is not the pre-app. So, yeah, you need to make the recommendation based on the... this is being an amendment to the site plan.
Oh, actually, I'm surprised Jim didn't bring this up earlier. Okay, I just have one more question. Is this now a real fireplace at this end of the building? It appears to be a fireplace.
Yeah.
Jim's very concerned about things that are on the roof and what comes out of the things on the roof.
Yeah.
Right, Jim?
Absolutely.
It's a zero clearance fireplace, essentially. So, and it would be a function of whether, I mean, it is in a tenant space, and there's no guarantee the tenants, you know, would want it or use it, but it's there.
Yeah.
And, Joe, last time we were speaking about the parking on the Fitzpatrick, the slope and so on and so forth, so is that... First of all, does that parking have anything to do with the next project we're going to talk about?
It may.
It may?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that site is going to have all of its parking off-site.
And will there be handicap parking on that?
There would not be handicap parking on the street because the slope's too great for it. Okay. So we've provided... ADA stalls in each of the parking lots by the building entries. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I had a quick question.
Yeah.
Is it restricted to the residents? Mm-hmm. Can it be used for the pool?
It's not restricted.
None of the parking on this site is restricted.
Yeah.
Even underground?
Parking where are you?
Underground is. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I noticed Treehouse did this once, and Grow Community just did this. They went out and they spray painted guest parking in the street next to the parking stalls.
Which you really can't.
You can't. It's a public parking space.
So all of the interior roads are private roads?
They're private roads. Yeah.
And here at least it's saying that on that side of the street, those spaces would be pool restricted. That's what the site plan shows. Pool parking only.
We're counting these as part of our, in other words, we need, I think, 29 parking spaces for the pool.
Uh-huh.
And we're not restricted. I mean, we've got parking in both of the parking lots. We've got parking down here. This is not restricted to that, but this is where we chose to count them just from an allocation standpoint. So they're not, as Josh said, we can't assign these and limit them to a use.
But are they necessary to get to your 29? Because you need to park for the pool as well as the upstairs space.
Yeah, if we subtracted these out, I think this proposal adds 56 parking places, and the pool needs, let's say, 30, roughly. So
and
there's
the
20.
Upstairs space would be, that's 250?
It's part of the 30. It's included in the 30 parking stalls that we need for the pool project. That's all inclusive, commercial and the pool facility. Yeah.
But ten of those are on Woodson Lane right now.
So we're counting towards our parking. This is where the parking gets complicated. These stalls we're not adding these. These are finished, they exist on site.
Right.
But you're counting them. It says on this.
I'm not counting them towards the 56 new stalls.
So when it says
But I'm showing
pool parking only. What does that mean?
It makes it look like they're restricted so that they count for parking requirements.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I didn't realize that was. Okay. Yeah, that is a little confusing.
Because they're not available.
Yeah, that shouldn't have said only. We can't restrict them that way. I don't know why that was on.
Well, the problem is, they're not available for pool parking.
Oh, they're available for pool parking.
No, they're not, because they're full of people that are at the restaurant.
If there are people at the restaurant, yeah.
There are people at the restaurant already. If you do a parking study, you would find out that you can drive up in this whole area, including these street spaces, and find there's no parking.
Uh-huh.
To go and dine at the restaurant.
Okay.
Need. So I'm just again, it gets into the next piece, which is how are all of these parking spaces being?
Which we will get to. Which we will.
Well, sounds like it. I didn't want to.
Let's go.
I didn't want to.
Bring it on.
Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing.
I
understand. I do understand.
Yeah. All right. So can we, like, wrap this thing up?
I would like to.
Sure.
Let's do that.
Can I, one last, but just on the chemical room, which is the only enclosed structure, what's the surface? Is that just cinder block or?
Plaster over cinder block.
Oh, okay. So it would be, at least conceptually, similar to the rest of the architecture.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, it's all done in the same palette of materials.
Okay.
All right, Josh, what are we approving?
So this is the second story addition changes and this exterior storage areas.
Right.
As part of this site plan amendment.
And I don't have. I don't have anything that relates to that. Actually, I have all the stuff on the resort. So is this just a needed approval?
What's that?
In other words, I'm not going through a checklist or anything.
We had a checklist.
Not for that.
Here we go.
I can't remember if we had a checklist on that or not.
Well, I didn't get it. Does anybody have it?
No.
I have everything related
no,
to
it.
I'd be surprised if we had a check. It was probably the answer to the checklist from the original approval.
Yeah, I think I.
Mm-hmm. What both of these say face
to? Six cottage units.
You have a gem?
Yes, I think so.
Then you can use it.
Well, it looks like we've already done this because this is dated July 11th.
11th,
exactly.
Yeah.
So all we're doing
is
amending.
But
this is the
cottage. It's still consistent with that. With those recommendations.
No. No, this is the.
This was the original description.
This is definitely for this project. So my feeling is that we should just accept. The addition and that we have to somehow throw in a caveat about the parking.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we'd be like with the concern about the cumulative impact of parking usage.
Right.
So our recommendation is to accept the amended square footage of the upper story and the change in the lower story. That is our recommendation. So,
and I'll get to where you
want to be, and the what?
And the exterior storage.
And the exterior storage. Agreed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Fine. Then we want to add to that a note that we are concerned with the many changes that have gone on with this project. The proper parking for those additions. Okay? That is our note. Jane, got that? Good. Any further discussion?
Thank you,
Charlie. Now we move
that
to the
That was the
resort.
Easy one, right?
That's the easy one. And we're behind time, but that's okay. This is important. And there's a lot to cover. So, are you ready? I know you weren't exactly...
I'm just going to walk around and take a breath.
Okay.
Stalling my walk.
Stalling for time.
Calling my attorney.
Do you have your fit band on?
Just
taking some little white pills. I found my notepad. There we
go. All right. Let's talk about the resort, the village. First, just a couple minutes on conceptual.
So, history is the original site plan review approval did not include what we've always called the Hannon parcel, belonging to Kathy Hannon.
Yes.
And it was purchased by the property owner 6 months ago. So now it is back in play as far as the site plan. The proposal that we're bringing forward for the site is to do a 15-room inn. It's an allowable use within the NSC zone, and there's certain limitations placed on inns that you're probably familiar with. And the site design, as you've seen, includes seven detached cottages around a central garden area, and then a main building, if you will, that would have an additional six rooms in it, and then the support facilities like check-in, sitting room, restroom, etc. That's the proposal for the site itself, and then we are going to be doing a parking study. I just met with Janelle on this, Janelle Hitch, and it'll go out as a third-party parking study for the inn itself to determine what its parking requirements are. The traffic impact. Parking requirements are one per room, so it would be 15 spaces. So again, I went back just to talk more about this, obviously.
Does one per room mean one per bedroom?
Yes, one per bedroom. I guess that's essentially what it says, bedroom.
So the two bedrooms
would count as
kind of two parking spaces, whereas, so it's not just the rental unit, it's the bedrooms in the unit that drive the parking requirement.
Yes, and that's something that I wasn't clear on, because the code isn't absolutely black and white, and that's something that Josh and I are working through right now to understand, you know, what the true parking requirement is. But it also relates to the inn definition, because it's 15 rooms, okay? So, you know, we can't go over that number either. So it's both parking and the allowable use. So then back to the parking, we're not doing underground parking. We're not doing parking on the site. The idea is that we, within our parking capacity for the site, have excess stalls sufficient to include what would be required for the inn. And, you know, we're going to talk more about this, but that's at least the premise to start with. And I think the rest of it is fairly self-explanatory. If you want more detail, I can give it to you. But Chuck brought up the point that the cottages are either one bedroom plus a small sleeping loft, or they're two bedroom with allowing dual occupancy.
Two bedroom, two bath.
Yeah. Which seems pretty clearly, you know, just two bedrooms. And I think that's, that's enough.
Can I start it? Doesn't it seem reasonable that there should be, for this is a discrete facility in its own way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there should be at least, although you can park all over the place,
mm-hmm.
that there has to be some sort of ADA parking that's adjacent and can get you into the lodge?
And that occurred after I drew these plans up. I got into a little more detail and started to. So what we have is we will have an ADA stall directly next to what I call the main building, mm-hmm. and it'll sit slightly upslope of the building, and you'll be able to park there and walk directly in and get to the accessible units on the ground floor. So the answer is yes.
Joy, how do you get out of a car and get into your wheelchair on the slope and get around to the entrance of the building.
You don't park on the hill. You'll pull off in a driveway. It isn't
so it's not this plan?
No. It's, as I just said a second ago, I worked on this since we submitted this because I realized this was an obvious requirement.
Right.
And the hill is steeper than what would comply with ADA. So we have to bring a vehicle onto the parcel itself and discharge there.
And that's where you need extra space anyhow that you have to get to make the site work. Is that correct?
We will need to do a boundary line adjustment.
So that would be maybe within that area?
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still, the amount of adjustment we have to do to the site is we have 35% lot coverage. We're at 36. So the site has to grow 5 feet in one direction, which we do through a BLA.
Charlie, just going back to the accessibility, isn't there's a fatal flaw in this site plan, in that your building with the accessible units is not accessible, or guests that stay there cannot get to the restaurant, cannot, they have to be driven half a block down the street to go to the restaurant, as opposed to your if this site plan
was
was just turned around the other way, and this building was at the bottom of the hill, and that's sort of the arrival and the opportunity for the handicapped to be able to then be able to go across level to the event center, to the beach house. It seems like you have a site plan that was really more friendly to the handicapped.
No, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought about configuring it that way.
And then the other piece that goes along with that is that that building, particularly if it's the three stories, has the potential of being a little bit more in scale and creating a little bit more of the street feeling across the two sides here, with the smaller buildings going on up the hill, which sort of is
the
site plan, which sort of goes a little bit more into sort of the smaller scale of buildings as they continue up the hill. It just feels like it's back to front. I know that that is not, that accessibility is not just an easy solution just kind of in the building down there, because you still have to have some foreground and some access to the parking, but it seems like you might have the potential to even luggage, even load and unload, even the ability to enhance the arrival sequence for the inn of, oh, there it is. It's right there on the main drive. And the next piece is, it looks like that might also be more successful from a management point of view, because you've got properties that are going to be managed on the both sides of the street, and there's guest rooms on the west side of the street, there's now guest rooms on the east side of the street, and staff supporting both, and that's sort of the densest cluster of rooms.
I think that's a really interesting idea.
Was there an intention to retain like a view from the balconies? Is that why it's up on the hill? Can you see the water from that?
No, I think, yes, you could from the third floor, because these buildings across the street are two stories. A pretty steep roof. So it's probably the equivalent of, 30 feet of obscured. But the manor house is lower. That's a sight line over them.
That's where the water is. Right?
Yep. So that might offer some abilities. No, the idea was to do almost like to face the court towards the restaurant and the inn. So the open space, you know, connected down to the other use. So you could look out the restaurant, look up this garden courtyard, and see, you know, the head house like an old bungalow court. But it's an interesting notion to flip it around, and, you know, the only thing that would be lost is you wouldn't have that vista into the courtyard. But
actually, that could, for the guests who are staying there, it actually could make the courtyard a whole lot more attractive because it's more private.
Yeah.
No,
it's that's a compelling idea. The other thing is we're also looking at making that building two stories instead of three stories.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, so it's scaled back down. Basically, the third floor is gone.
But still, the middle floor is gone.
Yeah, 15 units. And that, you can see, I mean, we couldn't have fit them all in. I wasn't thinking about the impacts of the cottages. Anyways.
Yeah, so just take off the middle floor, right? Would you keep this longer thing?
It's...
Whatever.
I haven't even looked at it.
Yeah.
It may be identical or different. But
well, right now, there's nothing. There's no units on the ground floor.
There are two units on the ground floor. There will be. And that's, and again, this is, you know, design is
evolving. They're not in this. So yeah. Right now, this is just showing up.
So if you look at the current plan, and I can explain what we're doing, the center square will be programmed very similarly to how you're seeing it now. Mm-hmm. The two side flanking pieces will become ground level rooms. And those will be our accessibility units.
Oh, okay.
So where will the reception?
It'll fit into that center square.
So it'll be in here,
yeah.
and it won't have a kitchen?
There's not going to be a kitchen, no.
Okay, so it won't serve meals and stuff here?
No.
People will go somewhere else?
No, he just felt like this was, and again, you know, I'm told to move these things along, and I do, and then, you know, a week later there's another meeting, but this is good because I'm getting some good feedback from you guys. So
from the point of view of design of inns and mm-hmm. the location of putting accessible units on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
You have an elevator in this building
mm-hmm.
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is more acceptable in the lodging community that people that need an accessible guest room are not given the worst location.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might find that that's a...
Mm-hmm.
ADA requirement. So you could actually have your accessible units on the top floor of the building, on the middle floor of the building, somewhere where you're not putting them.
Yeah.
Do you follow what I mean?
I do, and it's, you know, again, it is not a requirement, but it's certainly a good idea. So,
yeah.
At least from my analysis, it isn't a requirement, but I completely understand what you're saying. Those are the nicer rooms.
Just have to remember, ADA requirements are enforced by the general public.
Mm-hmm.
There, you can.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
You can need everything. And if the person who is being rented the second class room
mm-hmm.
feels like they're being treated.
Yeah, no, our
I'm not meaning to lecture, I'm just trying to
help myself. I take those rules very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge.
Yeah, okay.
It seems like the with the elevator and the fact that you have to have two stairs in this sort of in this building. The one that's not mm-hmm. the cottages.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you could easily add another bay to this building and not have it be out of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One more width into here. You're not adding any more stairs. No. You're not adding any more elevator mm-hmm. or service. And And the reason why I was going there is if you actually look at something like that, you might actually find that one of the cottage units could actually go away and still have your count, which would actually give you more right. open space, more garden, courtyard,
right.
And not be so... it feels like this is, you know, relatively tight. Mm-hmm. And you might find that if any one of these just sort of went into that building, was incorporated into that building, mm-hmm. it could benefit all the others.
Okay.
I like the fact that it's so tight compared to, you know, it's like gives a mix. It's just one more thing in this complex. It's kind of like those cottage houses.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Those are quite tight too, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyhow,
yeah.
I mean, it seems pretty obvious that this is something in the works, but I do think that maybe the flip idea is pretty reasonable, especially now that you're down to two stories. And
yeah, no, it seems really interesting idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes you miss some obvious schemes.
Would that allow you the potential of actually transitioning the grade from one side of the building to the other?
That's what we're doing presently in the design. The back building is, yeah. And again, it does. It's there's about a 5 or 6 foot grade change front to back on the main building mm-hmm. in the scheme. It's tucked into the slope. Yeah. And that backmost unit that sits by itself is also sort of perched halfway up the slope. There's about 10 or 12 foot of grade change front to back on the site, and it sort of ramps and then steepens at the rear portion, which is partly why I was trying to tuck the bigger structure to the back, because we could hold it into the grade a bit more. But
a bit on your how is your second floor going to change to add two more units?
This is the first floor. So is that the plan you want to be looking at?
This is
first floor. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's going to actually be almost virtually identical, Chuck. We're not really changing.
Can we make the room smaller?
No, we'll keep four rooms up here. No change up here. We're just adding. It's almost like those two rooms just literally drop down to the lower floor.
Right, but you had two on the first level, four on the second. That's only six. With seven cottages, that's only 13 units.
The cottages, some of them have multiple bedrooms in them, yeah. And that brings the count.
So that's the 15. Okay, yeah. So it's not 15 yeah. units. It's 15 the bed because of the bedrooms.
15 bedrooms.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. 15 and, bedrooms. And I probably have more than 15.
Right.
We counted every bedroom we
right.
have,
okay.
So we're going to have to reduce a few.
Anything else, Jim? Adrian? Alan? Obviously, this is fitting into the Linwood plan,
mm-hmm.
both in style and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments about the resort?
No, the materials, we don't want to replicate exactly what we've used already. We want each of these to have sort of a unique character, but still a level of consistency, and even the pool building again is different than what. And then we're now starting to work on the hillside units, and those are going to transition as well in style.
So how are you going to do that? What's
stylistically? Or
yeah, I mean, so you're keeping all this stuff you could say, like, is it Bay Area or like late 1870, 1920, and then so it'll be like variants. On the theme, or
yeah,
the thing you've drawn looks very
Tudor in style, but
it's kind of 20s ish.
It's going to go into the 20s.
Well, the pool building, is more of a shingle style
yeah,
architecture,
no, yeah.
And then I'm hoping the upper hillside. I've always loved Berkeley, California,
yeah.
And those hillside neighborhoods, and
those are shingle style too.
Yeah, and they're eclectic, and they're stucco, and they're shingle,
and they're bungalows.
Almost going a little Voisey-esque here.
Yeah,
there we go.
Why not?
Who doesn't love this stuff?
So.
Okay.
Good. I'm asking, what's the order of development? Do you know?
Yes, to the extent I do know, because it's always changing. Pool is under construction. Next will be the resort, and that's why I'm here and I'm working on it.
Aren't these under construction?
No, that's a future phase.
I got pulled out.
So I think the next phase will be the lowest tier of houses, those guys. Yeah.
We aren't there yet.
So I just have one more question. It's about parking, and it's about room count.
Mm-hmm.
So did I understand you, Charlie, to say that the code is not clear about what the in zoning or an in fitting into this zoning?
Let me restate.
As a room?
Yeah. No, it's very clear that it says 15 bedrooms. 15 rooms. It doesn't use the term bedrooms. It says rooms. Okay. So bear along with me. Pretend you're drawing this. You're doing a cottage. Definitely got a bedroom downstairs, bathroom, and then we do a little ship's ladder up to a sleeping loft. I'm trying to convince everyone that's not a bedroom because I don't think it is. It's not a room. However, in another one of our units, we've got a stairway going upstairs with a bathroom and a bedroom behind its own door with its own closet. I think I'd have a hard time arguing that's not a room.
Right.
But it never occurred to me when they're consolidated, if it's one family renting.
Can I speak on your behalf?
Yeah.
In front of Kathy? It's a guest room. The whole thing is a guest room.
Mm-hmm.
I can argue that you should have one parking space for a guest
per cottage.
Room per cottage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the way I went into it, and then I got all conservative and thought, oh, geez, probably can't do that. But I'm hoping we can, because that's I think it's going to be a family renting or a couple
right.
renting the cottage. I can't.
Well, even if it's two couples, they're going to come in one car across on the ferry.
Well, that's not likely. I mean, what changes things is, I mean, inns and hotels typically are one sleeping area. I mean, when you add that second sleeping area and you add a kitchen, now you're looking at more extended stays, you know, where there is a lot of
not
two families.
Well, there is one other thought, too, and this is why they're partly doing this. They would love to attract larger groups to come use the manor house as a conference facility. And there are people that will share a cottage. So
right.
mm-hmm. I think there's a good case there that they would share transportation, but I don't know that.
Well, I do a lot of hotel financing in the work that I do, and I know that nobody would finance it that way because the likelihood of two different families, you know, not coming through their various paths is just highly remote.
It's not highly remote, Chuck. Have you been to the inn at Abeja?
At what?
The inn at Abeja?
No.
In just outside of Walla Walla?
No, I'm just telling you
exactly
that
this kind
I'm just
of
telling you that I do a lot of financing of hotels, so I understand that issue. And that's not the way you would underwrite a hotel. And it's not the way you underwrite an inn. But
I've done a lot of designing of hotels of this type. And when we do a presidential suite with multiple rooms, your parking is not based on how many bedrooms.
A suite is different.
Gentlemen?
Well,
how are you going to park the units? Is that going to be across the street? Because I know the one thing that is an issue is how remote the parking is from the units. So is the idea that they're going to park on Pettus Lane?
Yeah, so
it is.
Again, there's no assigned parking, and we're not allowed, as Josh said, to assign the stalls. The street parking is open for the guests to park there, and I guess if it's either conditioned as such or we find that that's not working, then we would come in and would likely have to dedicate stalls either in the manor house parking lot or my guess would be in the upper pool parking lot.
Okay.
That would be the strategy.
At some point, you have to at least identify what that parking supply is, even if they're more likely to park on the street, if they're not prohibited from parking on the street spaces.
Correct. Correct.
In the essence of time, I appreciate the discussion. Josh, I look to you and to you, Charlie, on this whole situation of parking to come back to us with a very clear picture as to what it's going to look like based upon the studies that will be made.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alan brings up a very valid point for us,
mm-hmm.
which is interpretation. And, you know, originally when I looked at everything, it was my understanding that a 15-room inn meant 15 rooms, ergo 15 parking spots.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's other interpretations of that, but I think it's something we have to resolve at a given point in time. Is that what your hope would be, Alan?
Yeah, I just don't believe that a hospitality reference to a room is talking about bedrooms.
Okay. And we are proposing 15 parking spaces as it stands now.
Okay.
And we know, I mean, that's not going to reduce that. I can't see any justification.
I think you got some good input today.
Thank you.
Particularly the site plan itself and what it could look like. What further do we need to do, Josh?
Well, this is pre-app,
exactly.
So you're just giving him direction as he marches forward to site plan. We do have a public participation meeting on this on the 17th. So if anyone wants to come attend, and it's in the evening. It's 6:30, I think.
Is it catered?
8 here.
Is it catered?
Always. Yeah.
What was last time? It was quite nice.
Just one last question. So
yes.
I didn't hear any comments about compliance with design guidelines. So does that mean I should leave feeling like at least this scheme is compliant? Or just because that's helpful for me.
It appears compatible.
Okay.
Let's say compatible rather than compliant.
Right.
Compatible. Okay. Thank you.
And that's what we do in a pre-app, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Good
luck.
Soon.
I'll be back with something, I'm sure.
What's
on
the
way
up? Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim, because I've got a point, too.
I don't really have
this
a point.
This is just a friendly comment, I think.
No, I just have a question. What's happening to this area? Is that like
I'm
to be determined?
I'm hoping that is going to be a community garden. That's my current hope and dream and playground. Space.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Graded so far, that's steep. It looks pretty steep. Is that going to be planted?
Oh, yeah.
Just above the parking lot, right?
Yeah, it will be. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not part of this site plan, but it's going to get seeded, and then it'll get landscaped as the phasing continues. We do have a playground requirement that if it goes there, then that's going to be part of the development of that area.
And then what is anything happening in these areas?
Right now that's all open space, and there isn't much developable area because there's two wellheads in there.
That's going to be the parking lot. Yeah, that's gross.
The what? The parking lot?
That's going to be the new parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Alan had one more question.
Strictly off the record.
I have one more question, Charlie.
Yeah.
And I think topography might be the answer. But isn't there a possibility to bring one lane of parking in at the uphill part of the site, just so guests can get off the road? It would seem like that would probably be fairly level from here to here, and then they can wheel their suitcases down to the guest rooms. And it just seems like the only access here requires a lot of up and down with luggage. And
that's what you're going to do before, right? Put something up there.
Well, it sounded like
accessible parking stall. The challenge is, because I looked at that in the very first scheme I drew about a year ago, it's a 45-foot swath of space, which, you know, wipes out almost the upper third of the site. So, I mean, it takes, as soon as you bring a vehicle into the site, you know this, it just takes a lot of space. So that's at least the challenge.
But couldn't the driveway be across the property line? And the parking be on the property?
Well, and then the other thing we get into is then we're into 10 to 12 foot of grade change, and how do you get somebody, you know, mm-hmm. from an accessible parking stall to the building at the bottom?
You've got a zoning change there, too. Property line.
Oh, those darn such.
Yeah.
All right. Josh.
I know.
Okay. Good thoughts.
Good thoughts. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Looks exciting.
Very exciting.
All right. That's somebody's got a stamp on it.
Okay.
Let's see it. I'll expect a full report in the morning.
Talk to Jane.
After Wednesday.
Copper top.
Kelly should be in here. As we get her.
I think she's working in the hall.
Yes.
Thanks, Josh.
Yep.
Good comment. Uh-huh. Nice. Very good. Very good. Good suggestions.
I thought so too. All of you.
Good work.
Take it to heart, Charlie.
I am.
You can take it to the bank.
I'll give you jumps on that.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Charlie, you're
back. One of my favorite notes.
Charlie, how about those ducks?
How about those ducks?
Do we need Charlie to sign this? Yeah.
I did.
Okay, good.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, and beating Stanford?
I know. Feels crouching.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Are they all ducks? Where you come from?
Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have my applicants.
Good. I know we ran up running a few minutes late, but that's okay.
Yeah, they're fine. They're busy.
So
I have a few second handouts, just a description of the project.
Okay.
Site plans, the minutes from the last meeting. And,
Everybody's happy about this.
That's what is the
date? This is March 17th.
No, March 17th was the last, right? Okay.
Yeah, look at those meetings.
So, Kelly, what should we know about this?
Well, I think there were a couple people missing from that last meeting. Basically, it's an amendment. So I think you're all familiar with Sportsman's Park.
Right.
And what it looks like. They have a bunch of the buildings with the copper tops on them.
Right.
They decided to change the name of the whole complex to Copper Top Park.
Ah.
So when they first received that approval, they had that northern part of the property set aside. They were going to develop it with, I can't remember if it was a single building at that time. So basically, they've just come in for an amendment to change the configuration of that building. Essentially, they're proposing that the stormwater stay the same. That basically, ingress egress is the same as under the prior approval, but there are modifications internally to kind of take advantage of multiple buildings. And I think that the predominant use would be as storage facilities for beer and wine, like cold storage. I think there is some thought that they might try to do more of a tasting room kind of idea out there.
That's what that main building was going to be. And then it's my understanding that several of the tenants needed additional storage. So they came up with the concept of doing the individual storage units. But now the use of the main building has changed. Is that correct?
The main proposed building?
Yes.
don't know offhand. I think that the people next door, you know, they currently have kind of this a brewery next door, and I know they're expanding their production quite a bit. So I think we'd have to ask Mr. Nelson, because I don't recall.
Well, this is saying basically that they're looking for a tenant for the main building, and they thought a solar company would be moving in. Am I reading that correctly, Ellen?
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened to the extension for the brewery.
Well, I think it's just when I was talking about kind of the expansion of the brewery, I meant more in terms of the storage capacity for them and distribution facility, I guess.
Into those smaller units?
Then? Into the mini storage, because they want cold storage.
Oh, okay. Because it doesn't specify, we have no idea if it's cold storage, heated storage, regular storage, but I'm sure we'll ask that today.
Yeah, and I think, of course, he's going to try as much as possible to respond to the market, but at this point, I believe that's where the market's still heading.
Kelly, I wasn't present at the last meeting, but I remember one of the issues that Jim had was the fact that the site plan has parking between the main building and the road, whereas the existing Copper Top development is successful in part because all the parking is internal and from the street driving by, you see buildings as opposed to parking lots. And I seem to remember just from the notes I read that that was of concern to Jim, and I'm assuming you brought that up at the meeting. Is that still the way it is?
It is. That's still what they're proposing. There are a couple of things that the design review board suggested or mentioned, or requested that the applicant consider, and the proposal hasn't really been modified to take those into consideration.
And am I correct on this? So they're not parking with those other two buildings. It's just access, as in mini storage. It's a mini storage kind of an orientation for these lower two buildings.
Right. Because they were expecting these to be mini storage. There was no real parking down on the east side of the site. It's all located on the west and southwest. That's basically the only parking. There might be a couple of little loading or unloading kind of things down there, but
okay.
There's no parking facilities on that side. And there's no connection proposed between the two. There's no vehicular connection with the exception of, say, maybe forklifts or something. So they would be able to move in between these, and there would be pedestrian passage in between mm-hmm. two, but there's no proposal for interconnectivity for vehicular access, because the lower storage portion is expected to be secure, so fenced.
Right. But it'll have circulation roads around it.
Around those two buildings?
Yeah, I mean, right now...
In the gate.
Right, yeah, so you go from Sportsman's Club and then you enter into this parking area, these kind of two different parking areas, and then there'll be a gate.
Right, but all of this side area is paved inside their boundary lines. That's all paved area.
Yes, I think that's shown on the civil plan, the fourth large sheet you have. Should be the civil, and that shaded area is expected to be paved. I'm not sure. Oh, on this one. Yes. Yeah. So that would expect to be
okay.
Impervious.
This forklift access, is that connected to?
Yes. Yeah, because the brewery is located in that room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's their plan to use those back buildings as space for surgery. And I'm not sure. I think there was some hope on Doug's part about wineries too, and expanding wineries on the island and giving them those storage capabilities. But we should probably.
All right. Any other questions for Kelly?
Well, I guess before that.
Go ahead.
You know,
we should go through our questions.
It does not appear as if they've taken notice.
Any of our.
So. Right, and the other thing I should have mentioned or pointed out was they only had one set of guidelines at that time. So when you did review this, you didn't have a landscape plan.
Right.
And you didn't have a drainage plan.
Right.
And you didn't have the general, the commercial and mixed-use design guidelines, the first set in your packet. They didn't have those either. They only had the
light manufacturing.
The light manufacturing.
So they didn't do
that. Kelly, what is your recommendation here?
My recommendation? I would like to see formalized, and I would intend to ask for formalized non-motor transportation plans. So, I'm not so concerned about pedestrian interaction between the two. I'm concerned about parking, and there was a lot of public comments at the public participation meeting because it appears that the parking, that there's some trouble about parking in the Copper Top. It's not so much that they don't have parking facilities, it's just that the parking facilities are not located in a way that wouldn't, so if you're trying to use this building that's housing the pediatrician is occupied at the same time as the spa, it's the same time as this, it's the same time as that. So everybody wants to park on this side.
You're talking about phase one.
Right.
Brent.
And what's happening now is these buildings that are located close to the north side are kind of overburdened at certain points of the day. And so the workers are now parking in this undeveloped lot. And there's a lot of concern about where they're going to park now.
I see.
And, you know, it's so probably a formal parking plan where, you know, Doug just kind of lays down the law about employees for these buildings parking on the south side of Copper Top 1.
Has and there been a parking study done on this?
Not that I know of, no.
Would you advise that?
I don't really know much about that. If you do that as part of a traffic impact, I'm not sure. I can ask our development engineer. I could certainly ask her. And then the other thing is there's some confusion about whether that trail that's part of the Pope Resources Plan, the Pearl Stream of Pearls idea, what side of the highway that's located on. So I'm still trying to get confirmation from our Public Works Department about that. Regardless, I think it's a good idea to at least get to kind of look at the state highway, to look at the width of that there, and to perhaps at least get an easement, a 10-foot easement, say, in the event that the city wants to, in the long range, put pedestrian access or put, you know, a nice protected bike lane there.
And then, we last 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting, and one of the agenda items was that having a 50-foot wide buffer resulted in the trees that remained in the 50-foot wide buffer were likely to fall over because of wind and the fact that it was cleared right up against it. And what I am seeing in this site plan is we've got a 50-foot wide buffer against 305, which they're clearing right up against that 50-foot buffer from the west. And then on Sportsman's Club, we've got a 50-foot buffer, and they're clearing right up to the east of that. And if we have the same situation that happened with the Day Road site that we were reviewing, and those trees in the buffers finish up coming down, then we finish up with nothing on both sides of this project. And I mean, Chuck, isn't this exactly the same?
No, it's our token effort at tree retention, because we have the buffer and we allow the setback to include the buffer, so you can see the buildings are right at to the buffer line.
Right.
So construction of the buildings damages trees in the buffer, which they're not supposed to do, but they do.
Right.
And as soon as you clear cut inside, the trees that are in the buffer are vulnerable. So they start coming down because now they're dangerous and never really seem to get replanted. So the canopies that at least our code wants to see along 305 and along along Sportsman Road, you know, once the project is done, those canopies disappear. You know, they're out there.
6 foot tall maples, which is
right, vine maples. They'll do a little bit of vegetation, and again, it's never very policed very well by the city in terms of it. So it is. It's exactly the problem that we have at how those buffers. It's not looking at trying to maintain meaningful. It's like, what is the goal of the buffer? Is it to keep existing trees there, or is it to try and provide a canopy that hides the development from the road? You know, and if that's the goal, then we lose that goal when the trees start being vulnerable to wind and they start falling down. They'll come in like they did before with an arborist report that says they're dangerous.
Right.
The city will now allow a dangerous tree to be cut out, not necessarily replaced with the same stature of tree. And so now we don't have that canopy anymore.
Yeah, the most recent revisions to the landscaping section, I think, help to address it because they look at replacement in terms of, you know, you're not replacing 3-to-1, you know, you're not replacing.
Well, now we got these tree unit things.
Yeah,
nobody understands what a tree unit is.
Oh, I think we have a pretty good idea. I think we do at this point. And it's actually seems quite easy to administer. I don't know that it achieves, you know, what it should achieve.
Right.
I mean, if the object, and I think the object basically of these kind of buffers is to screen the development, then we've run into that problem a lot where you have a lot of, dug firs or something. Well, they're not going to screen anything.
No.
And so it would be more appropriate to say plant cedar. But then there's always the problem of, you know, where are the utility lines? And you don't want to plant things that maybe grow too fast because you're just going to end up with them constantly coming in for maintenance of those and topping those trees like they do out at the.
But I think that's the key issue is that right now the buffer is, well, we're just going to ignore this area. And in theory, we say we're going to protect it and preserve it, and we really don't do any of those things. Rather than a more engaged conversation about what this corridor should be, which could call for strategic cutting of trees out of there and a replanting of certain species that establish that canopy in a much more vigorous way.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not even really discussed because it's intended to just be protected and preserved.
That's yeah, the only time I really get involved kind of in that design is trying to, because of course, you know, if you cut into that or if you're developing right to that edge, there's really no way to protect the root system of that canopy. So then it's just a matter of trying to...
So then they say, well, the roots got damaged.
Right, and then there's all hazards. Everybody knows the game at this point.
Oh, but this is even worse, because if you look at the civil drawings, they're digging a 7-foot deep vault, stormwater vault, basically underneath the paving, underneath the driveway, mm-hmm. on the east side of the building, which is going to just do exactly what you guys were just describing, which is damage for roots to the trees.
Right.
And, you know, once those trees have gone along with 305 character, the character of driving down 305 is looking at a storage building with garage doors. I mean...
it's kind of like what happened at the church. I mean, just people think that buffer is a lot wider, but...
Yeah.
but it's actually, the right-of-way is very wide, and it's a very tree canopied right-of-way. So once you lose, you know, once the DOT does develop that, yeah, right. People are going to be very, very right. surprised.
So it seems like at least with the Day Road, you know, the city came had them come back to us for our opinion around, you know, restoring of that setback, which I don't think really is a design review board
which
function.
Day Road is
it was the
what is it?
The AGS maybe?
No, it was Tony Kuma's project.
Yeah, Island Crafts.
Island Crafts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Island Crafts 2.0.
Right. Well, right, which I don't, I mean, I was kind of surprised because that's not really a function we provide, giving advice on that. I mean, I think we're happy to do that. It'd be nice if the city would just have a different discussion around what these setbacks need to be.
And I think that needs to happen.
Right, that's really the, I think the lesson here is that right now the way the code is, it tries to say one thing, but it's the exact opposite. We all know that. So we might as well find a way to open up that conversation to maybe facilitate some pre-damage and get it taken care of now, but know that it's going to be enhanced in a way that we get a trade-off.
And you know, there's a, you know, there are all kinds of things. If it's going to happen now, I think there have been some developments where I said, all right, let's just acknowledge these trees are not going to remain. And if they do remain, they're going to be declared hazardous in 2 years.
Alan,
so,
Chuck, I think you bring up a very strong point. I think we need to get that point across to Kathy and look into this issue much greater depth than we have time to do today. Running late for our next.
Yeah, one last question before they come in. This is parked under our industrial code, so it's 1 per 1,000.
I'm sorry.
The parking code.
Parking.
Because I know that's the other problem we have here. The range of uses that are being discussed here range anywhere from office use to quasi retail use to storage use.
Right.
There's a large continuum, all of which really park at a different rate.
I think it's for parking here. It's based on the number of employees and the amount of floor area dedicated to office space, I think that's
which would make sense for the large building, too. But what's back for storage units?
I don't think storage unit is really taken into account. So
right.
So the storage facility, like reliable storage, it's not based on the storage numbers, it's that area. It's based on the office and the number of employees.
Oh, right, and that's why the current project is having parking problems, because the uses in the building are changing
mm-hmm.
to the marketplace
right,
from what
right,
they
right.
we originally thought. Depending on which uses
right.
in which building,
mm-hmm.
some of the parking doesn't. You know, if you're on this side parking, it doesn't really work for these. But our parking code didn't really factor that in.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I don't think it factored
okay.
in because. At the time, those weren't the uses.
Right. No. As they changed, they never
yeah.
got caught up, and the site plan is already set in stone.
Exactly.
I know this is an industrial zone. And this
right.
is the view from Pre-05, a 150-foot-long building.
Right, it's many stories, yeah.
Which is garage doors with solid wall along the floor above.
So he may not have spent a lot of time on the design guidelines. But the one other thing I wanted to say was one thing I have done in the past, aside from trying to get paths that kind of make sense and save significant trees, is we can require replanting at a certain stage. So you can require all that the tree removal or planting in anticipation of tree removal.
Right.
First or within a certain amount of time. So
okay,
that's something that'll help
that's
too.
That's good, but there's no guidelines for the size of that. You know, a 6-foot tree is going to take a long time
right.
to develop into some level of
right.
Buffering.
Right. You know, you can, there's a little bit you can do, there's a little bit of leeway, a little less on this one. It's not subject to SEPA, but you have kind of more mitigation power with.
Right.
But Kathy even acknowledged to us that the city code enforcement treating a landscaping plan with the same seriousness treats other code issues is not the same. So even if you had the conversation on what species types, even the city has kind of admitted that it really doesn't go out there and are hard about that the same way they are with other things. So, but I think the key thing is it's always coming up. It's worthwhile having a conversation, trying to be proactive, mm-hmm. rather than trying to maintain these no buffer areas, no cut areas when we're fooling ourselves and we know that. It'd be nice to have a dynamic conversation around.
Yeah, and it would be important to get substantial compliance, have him modify the
20 minutes late. We're going in.
Right.
Okay. They're right out by the water fountain.
But they also say here, no facades are over 128 feet long. And we have two facades
even in the industrial
east of the buildings. One is 150 feet long, and it's facing a public way.
They're only referring to the first building.
Well, they're only referring to the first building, but you can, right. The other buildings are facing a public right of way, which is the state home.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, two shots. How are you doing? Good, fine. Our chair will be back in a moment.
Introductions.
I'm Doug Nelson. This is my wife, Karina.
And have you met us before? Some yes, some no. Chuck.
Chuck DePue. I'm with the Design Review Board.
Jim McNett, Design Review Board.
Adrian Slaughter, DRB.
Mark Levine, DRB.
Alan Granger, DRB.
I think Alan's the only one I've never met here.
Yeah, I was...
Gallivanting.
Ah. I was out of the country when we had the last meeting.
And this is Jim. She's new to our department.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
We have your proposals in front of us. Do you want to spend a couple of minutes and just go over it in general? It's an expansion.
Yep. This is so are we building on the last meeting, or is this a whole fresh new meeting?
It's a very good question. For those who were not a part of it, we will be building on the last meeting, but they also need to know your current state of the expansion.
Okay. Well, not much. We haven't done much since our last meeting. So the planning staff is very overworked right now, so it's a long wait list to get in to you guys so that we can get on to the next stage. Process. We have done a little bit of our own architectural in-house, a little bit more design, refinement. Nothing has changed in any substantial outside of the building. It's just are we going to use a storefront window, or are you going to use a frame window? Those are the kind of discussions that we've been having. But, projects essentially, it's about the same. There's a landscape plan. It's really big.
And basically, the storage, when you talked to us, the storage was to accommodate many of the people currently in your new official name, Copper Top, to give them additional storage. It doesn't say, however, is that old storage? Is that heated storage? Is that just regular dry storage?
Right. If you were to go to the plans, when we go to the
MA1.
Oh, it's not. Well, if you go to the last page, A9, the upper picture is the east side of the big warehouse office building up there on Sportsman Club Road, and these large doors all represent a different suite. You can't see because you don't have the floor plan. But inside, those are cubes, essentially, and individually metered, so that if a tenant wants to come in and put insulated panels in for cold storage, they can do so. We do have people requesting space for cold storage. We're not building out the cold storage unless there is a lease in place and somebody wants it. So okay. We're building it so that it can accommodate it. There will be a house panel and then a bunch of tenant panels for your space.
And the smaller units?
Smaller units, they're just regular mini storage, although I do believe that a large number of them are going to be taken up for commercial uses. Commercial users.
And the upper floor of the main building?
Upper floor of the main building, we may build it at some point. The building's designed so that it is it's a frame, and so we can add a mezzanine on the inside at some point. We're accounting for it here as if though it's being built. These metal buildings will all have the bolt pattern and everything for the beams to be tied into, and a floor added at some point down the road.
Did I read that a solar company is interested?
We've already signed a lease for about 60% of that building.
Okay.
For an inverter company. Yeah, they make the inverters for the solar panel industry.
You're not going to put solar panels on all the copies.
Oh, there's a big push for it right now. They're pushing on it. So I don't want to cover the roofs, the copper roofs. That's my big resistance with the solar panels. That's kind of our trademark, and to cover them up with black solar panels.
You can change your name.
Blacktop.
Blacktop.
They have a new device that's called the Megatron. Sounds like something out of Transformers.
Clear ones, yeah.
No, it actually stands on a big, almost looks like a cell phone tower, and it has these big arms that stick out with panels on it, and it turns with the
right, rotates
the sun.
Right.
On, yeah. The sun.
Right. Bound to happen.
Okay. So if they don't go on the roofs, that's going to be their next push, is to install something like that.
Well, needless to say, we have a number of questions for you, which we hope will be helpful. So, Chuck, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, a couple questions for you. When you talk on the, looking back at that A9, when you talk about potential office uses, I've seen a lot of buildings where now mini storage is a mini office. You know, even smaller spaces, someone puts a desk in there, you know, they're good to go, and that's just their office space. Is that kind of what you're potentially seeing?
Not at all. No, in fact, we're not going to be electrifying the building for that either. These spaces will be lit from the hallways primarily. There will be likely most of the shallower ones, the ones that are 15 feet or deeper, will have a porcelain fixture in there. Not going to have outlets in them. That is a concern to people who are out of power and starting business or moving into the units.
Right.
That won't be allowed.
So when you say office use, what does that mean of how these uses might be used by an office user?
The park next door. So if you were to go to the site plan.
Right. I've got that.
You know where the rock gym is? Go to the landscape. You can see the two buildings on the south side of the site plan. There's an access there for a forklift to go through. So the users in the primary part of the park can actually get a forklift in and store goods in there.
So in a sense, this would be accessory storage to users in the existing thing.
Yeah.
Right now, these are office users, aren't they?
Yes. Yep.
And so the fourth, this would be a new access point connecting through.
Correct. Yeah. For the other uses, and it's not to say that if the rock gym were to go away, that doesn't turn into manufacturing or something later down the road. A lot of these people just don't want to clog up their money making footprint with dead weight
right.
storage.
And then the other question that I was putting a couple things, is there, other than just the geometry. Is there a reason why this building couldn't align against the street?
Yeah.
So the parking at least wasn't adjacent to the street area. It was more interior to the site.
Well, a lot of that's designed by the civil engineer for what is optimal for moving big trucks in and out, because we want to be able to accommodate a 40-foot box truck to come in, back in, unload, and pull out. And we don't want them having to maneuver around the buildings in the interior. Also, we don't want cars parked up against the fence that can then be leaked over into a storage facility. The storage facility needs to be as secure as possible.
Right.
And the whole idea here is that the landscaping that we put in should be adequate screening for the parking. Right now, a lot of the parking is even seen on the road at Copper Top 1, and that's much thinner than what we have here for landscape cover.
Okay. And then the last question I have is, I'll focus on the trees because that's kind of become my thing lately, we know that with the setback, concurrent with the buffer, that there's going to be a lot of trees that are going to disappear out of here. So does your landscaping plan really address replanting significant trees in Copper Top, but also especially along 305? You're going to do a lot of site work with your tank down in that corner, and I have a feeling that there will be a lot of trees damaged in that 305 corridor.
There won't be any damage. We'll have that totally fenced off along that.
Well, once you cut the trees on the interior, the buffers are always going to be vulnerable.
Well, they are, but before we start a project, whenever we do it, we run an orange fence around the do not cross line. The trees up at the Sportsman Club roadside, there are no significant trees located where this road comes in, so this is it's not removing anything. It's close to that. But it's not removing anything. The only thing we're doing is enhancing what's there.
So they're not significant. They're not 10-inch caliber trees.
There's no trees where that road is right now.
Well, this is saying existing evergreen trees are on all these circles here.
Yeah, but where
the road entrance.
Yeah, the entry. If you were to go up there,
you
would see two cement blocks and a forklift and a man lift parked where that entry is right now.
Right.
And so it's not our intention to take out any of this buffer in here, unless it's like your knotweed or something that the city is going on.
We didn't have an aerial photograph or Google map of this site. Is the site wooded at the moment?
It is. It's partly wooded. A fair amount of it was cleared when we did the first phase of the project. Used it for storing of our chips. We were storing dirt there. It was a staging area. We placed big concrete tanks all over it while we were dropping things in the ground. So there are some trees there. It's not like we don't have big fir trees. You're not going to see anything out there that's more than a foot in diameter.
Right. Well, the reason why I was asking is, and it's unfortunate you came in the week after the previous applicant, or 2 weeks after the previous applicant, but the last 2 weeks ago, we had an applicant come in who had promised to maintain 50-foot buffers and then came back after the fact and said the arborist has said take down all the trees in the 50-foot buffer because they're going to fall down. And so after the fact, what the applicant had been saying, we're not going to do anything in the buffers, and I'm looking down at 305. It appears like you may be paving a little more than you need to pave, because it looks like you're sort of just paving up to the edge of the 50-foot buffer here, as opposed to paving what people need to get in and out of the storage.
You have to be able to get around the corner, though, with a car and a truck.
Right, I'm just wondering if you can do that here, what's that dimension here? Because it just appears like you're just paving as far as you can pave. And in addition to that, there's also the 7-foot deep vault, which has got the potential of damaging roots. trees here. And then in addition to that, you look at the character of the buildings from the highway. And we've basically got a 150-foot-long facade that looks like that with no modulation.
I can, right now, if you were to look at the existing buildings, there's 200 feet of buildings along Sportsman Club Road that don't have undulations on the back either. And it doesn't stand out like a sore thumb when you drive down the highway. And I'm not the same guy that was here, whoever this other person was here a couple weeks ago, but I have planted far more in Copper Cop, and we continue to keep planting and adding to those buffers over time beyond what we had to originally.
Mm-hmm.
We've added several hundred just along Sportsman Club Road in the last year, so, and it, within the project. So this, you know, if somebody's got a problem, they got to tear out trees that are dangerous, you know, they should be replaced and planted with enough caliper to make up for it when they mature.
Well, I'm sort of looking at to reduce the overall scale of buildings. Facades over 128 feet in length should be separated. I'm seeing buildings here that are 150 feet long. And your comment to that was no facades are over 128 feet long. And the two storage buildings are 135 and 150.
So if you're also, if your site plan is correct, it doesn't look like we have, it looks like there's a gap between these buildings. So why would you like at least do that on this one that's 150 feet long?
This one right here?
Yes. Is that correct?
The which plan are you looking at?
Called site plan.
Site plan.
You see that they look like discrete buildings with a gap, something in between?
Yeah, well, from the road here, you can't tell that these aren't connected. These two buildings next door, that's 200 feet.
Is there a gap between them?
There's no gap between. There's a gap between these two buildings. I understand. There's no gap. If you look, this is called Building 12 right here, and it is one long building.
Oh, no, I understand that. I'm saying that you're saying your other building.
Right. You're talking about this building.
Yeah.
Right here.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that's not two buildings.
That's two buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why, if you did that there, we're just saying you should respect the guideline that you can and put some sort of breakout along.
It's a different application than that other building.
Yeah.
Where all your lighting and your heating and stuff is all continuous, you know, like any storage building, and your heat duct runs the entire building. So you're talking about cutting it off and putting another HVAC unit and another heat pump and another everything.
Definitely changes the economy.
And the electric and the panels, more panels. You're duplicating every service in that second building.
Well, if you don't, maybe you don't. I think you can at least look at something to break up that 150-foot continuous expanse is what we're saying. And you did it before, you know, and all of your other projects are discrete, smaller buildings. And the guidelines suggest that you don't.
It's funny. Those two buildings that are separated right now, the tenants that are in there have actually been talking about trying to combine them and make them one building.
I believe that.
So they're just saying that they're outgrowing those two spaces.
I mean, you could put like a 5-foot pocket in there if there was a hallway there or something to pretend like it's a divide. You know, to change the line of the building. I mean, something like that would create a divide without having to repeat all of those utilities because the cost of panels and HVAC and duct. The idea is that all your light runs in the ceiling. You're not putting utilities into each unit. All your heating forces there.
I understand all stuff. There are other ways to do it. But I don't want to suggest that there are other ways just to break out 150 feet of continuous roof, and with them.
Isn't
that the point, Al?
Yeah.
So you can put
I mean, you know, if the site was 50 feet wider, would we have a 200-foot-long continuous building just to make the ductwork and the heat pumps be more efficient? I don't think we would approve that. And I think that we've crossed over the dimension that's in the code, and arguing that it's more efficient from a construction cost point of view, I'm not seeing that that's going to be a successful argument without any kind of modulation to the building.
We can do, I think some of this is that the applicant wasn't aware that there were two sets of design guidelines when they came for pre-op, so I don't know that the person that prepared this drawing was really fully aware of all of those requirements, so that's certainly something that we can talk about, that modulation, exactly what that might look like, or some examples on some other buildings, what they've done.
Right. Well, those guidelines have been adopted since the first phase was done. Right. So these are new guidelines for, you know, the commercial mixed-use guidelines, which now Copper Top fits in.
Right. Yeah, I'm just saying that Mr. Nelson didn't prepare these drawings. Somebody named Charles Reuter prepared them, and I don't know that he was very familiar with our guidelines.
Okay. But I think you're right. I think we recognize the efficiency. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is that right now in an area that has guidelines, the traditional kind of mini storage really wouldn't be the right design. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd want to break the buildings into smaller chunks. You'd want to see more modulation of the buildings. The modulation shouldn't be a big cost driver. I can understand separating buildings and how you provide efficiencies. At some point, you'll know more of your, you know, how your different users are going to want space, which may lead to a natural separation of a cold storage building versus something else. So it may evolve that way. So it seems like they're starting to anticipate how that might be accommodated would be a useful exercise.
So Al, you were still going, right?
I don't know whether that was or not.
Yeah, you were. I thought you were.
Okay. I think I'm concerned about the length of this building and the blandness of this elevation towards pre-05. And because of the proximity to pre-05, I know we have the 50-foot buffer, and you're maintaining that 50-foot buffer, but we do have a drainage stormwater vault through there. And then it appears like you may be paving more than you need to pave down there. And I guess I would ask that be looked at to see whether the truck circulation. I totally understand the truck circulation. But it appears like if you can get the truck circulation to the other buildings, you may be able to get that without having so much paving down here, which then would give better protection to trees that are in the buffer. I mean, it's a, you know, water runoff as well as we just don't need to be paving more than is necessary. I think that was...
And the reason for that is...
You can answer that?
No, I'm asking the reason for that.
The reason why we don't want to pave more than is necessary?
Well, it's more of the visual for 305.
Well, it's two things. One is you're already having to put in this storage vault, detention vault. The more surface paving we have here, the more water we're catching, the more runoff there is, the more this is sloping down towards 305, so the more water is likely to be. We're sloping up to 305.
It's higher than 305, but it would slope back towards the building, so that it was caught into the catch basin side.
Right. No, but I'm just saying that the overall site is.
The overall site
is sloping down that way. But no more than is absolutely necessary in terms of paving is typically the better solution in terms of stormwater. There will be times when catch basins overflow, quarry faults fill up, and in this situation, the destination for that is into the buffer area.
Okay. This buffer is it's interesting. Where the highway actually is not where that line is. There's a buffer, the right of way, the state tracks coming through there is quite a bit wider. So the distance from project clearings quite a bit further than that 50 feet.
Yeah,
I'm not showing that.
Right.
No, I understand that. Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, I probably trust you more than the state in terms of coming down there and when they put the extra lane on 305 that they just...
That was off the record, James.
That was off the record. About me trusting the state. it's already been budgeted to widen 305, and where are they going to put the extra paving and the extra lane? They're going to take out trees for the whole corridor, and so what you're doing becomes even more important in maintaining the buffer and adding more planting to the buffer. So I'm just encouraging you to, which I think you are doing, to respect the buffer and not do anything that would have a negative impact to that vegetation.
And we feel strongly about that and the buffer side on Sportsman as well. Questions?
I have one more question. On the, I guess it would be the east side of the large building, you have larger doors, larger the cubicles?
East side of the large building, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And where did you say you wanted your, is that where the big, larger trucks are going to go?
No. The larger trucks will be, they'll pull in, they can offload and wheel their stuff back around to the forklifts down into those storage units. I don't anticipate big trucks going into those at all.
But that's where your big doors are.
That's where all
there are. There's some big doors there.
Envision pallet storage.
They're like
for like APS, ones that lease up 6% of that building. A couple of those doors are going to go away, and they'll likely just be a window instead of the door, because they don't need. They don't want the storage. They just want their
big
warehouse.
Space.
All be for access
so,
inside.
I was going to say, not knowing how you plan on using this, but if that's where your big doors are and that's where you unload big things, because you don't put in a big door unless you want that large things, but that's where you have wider parking, and you could conceivably kind of orient, kind of crank your building so it picks up along all your other copper dock buildings. And then maybe you'd have a bigger space back there for a larger truck to manipulate and actually drop things off of those things. But I know it's probably...
I think
a lot of it's a big guess trying to figure out what the tenants is going to want.
No, I understand.
It's going to come down.
But you showed large doors there to imply that you'd have bigger trucks and stuff like that. And I think as a group, we still would be... nice of an edge along Sportsman that picked up these copper top buildings somehow, but you decided it didn't work for your plan as well. But.
Well, I got a few reasons for it. I'd say most of it has to do with the security for back here and for the big trucks.
The big trucks didn't hold it to me. I mean, I don't see where that would. If you cranked it, you'd have more space to...
He means big trucks in the front.
Yeah,
in the front.
I don't anticipate a big box truck.
Okay.
We're thinking like a U-Haul truck.
See, a U-Haul or something going through here.
Yes.
So the security is this little notch here, right?
Yeah.
Keep unnecessary traffic. People who are actually storing back there are having access, not just anybody who happens to be coming visiting the building has access to the secured area because they don't need to be back there.
We may have a relationship with a U-Haul or a budget, and we will also want to keep those trucks out away from the front, so they'd be down here, and they could be in that extra area that you're talking about on the paving. Utilize whatever we can to whatever relationship is there at some point in the future.
Jim, anything else?
No, that was my idea.
Go ahead.
Concern that I have, that we have, that we've talked about, you know, success is a wonderful thing. You have great places in there between the brewery and the catering company and the spa and the rock climbers and whatever, and you're running out of parking space. With this new addition, where a lot of your cars are parking now because it's an open field, are we going to have enough parking?
Yes. I have actually gone around, I thought this might come up, and I've been tracking vacant parking spaces every hour of the day.
Great
So,
just what you thought you'd never have to do.
Yeah, that's right. So going around actually counting every space every hour and then marking it down for the days. And we have at our highest occupancy right now, we're running with at our very highest occupancy, I am running with 87 vacant spaces.
Wow.
So, and I'm full in the park right now.
Right.
I have one more big tenant moving in, and they're gonna take about 15 spaces. I think I've got plenty. People always want to park in the very front of their building.
Yeah.
And so I have some users that complain that they're, you know, they can't park in the very front of it. I'm like, well, if you park in Winslow, you got to walk 6 blocks to get to where you're going. So a lot of it's just trying to coach their employees on, you know, this part of the park over here has a little bit less demand. Just have them park over here, and then there's room for your employees to park.
Or your clients.
Or your clients in front of your building. So, and I also keep track on a, beyond that, I also keep track on how many parking spaces per business
they expect to take.
Yeah, so we have 207 parking spaces right now in the whole park. 207. 208.
So if I might ask you, how many of the Copper Top 1 people are parking over at Copper Top 2 right now? Is it those mostly employees?
Yeah, those mostly just employees. That's I have 2 cars just stored there right now, and it's usually about 6 cars. Park back there. And I've told them that I would anticipate they're going to use a little bit of this parking in number 2.
Okay.
So.
It looks like you could restripe it, right? Like you could spend a little money, get some more spaces on this.
Out of the plan exists here?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at it. I love parking. It's what
there's 39 spaces, and I...
I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about the old one.
The old one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like you could easily...
It's in the budget to be restripped next summer.
You're going to find a lot of spaces. So, anyhow, have you ever thought of, like, you know, maybe putting more of an end? I know these are like modular buildings, almost city buildings. Is that correct?
A step above that, but yeah.
I have great respect for it. But, you know, is there some way you could put an end? Like, this is your Copper Top. There's no end to it. Do you own this property at all? The end of your...
You just sound energy. It's a big...
Maybe you could put something that just marks the end of it or something. This is your, you know, the end of Copper Top. Right now, it just kind of dribbles into the corner. And I don't think you'd lose one space. You wouldn't have to reorient. I'm not talking about anything, but just maybe looking at something that ends... Copper Top.
Well, we're not even calling this Copper Top from the road.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, no. But because I don't want to confuse people when you say, you know, I didn't even name it Copper Top. Somebody, you know, the public named it Copper Top.
That's true.
So I don't want to confuse people and call it.
Well,
but
this development reads as one big thing owned by the same person, and you're continuing that with these kind of buildings and stuff. So.
Just a thought. I mean,
just having the facade, you know, along that building, it's just, you know, duplicate what you've already done in Copper Town.
I think we are.
But see, it's kind of rubbly. The way it's, everything here is kind of has its own rigor and very straightforward and rational. Then that little corner just kind of rubbles.
It's
off.
Funny, that little corner, everybody's fighting over the tendency for that
they
little
like
corner.
The door on
that's why
in the way
could
it
get,
is.
You could add a few square feet there and do something decent.
Add some more square footage. You don't hear that in the meeting very often.
So, anyhow, that's my.
No, that's right. I mean, it's as you're, I mean, for the most part, you stayed along the buffer line anyway. Mm-hmm. So you've got that triangle piece that all you did was just enclose it.
Yeah.
You know. The
idea was, I think, was because those doors lined up in the back, we had some tenants that wanted to be able to rotate storage and stock, but not unload their whole entire building to get to the back. And so they could open up the door in the back, get their stuff out, and continue.
It's like
I know, but that's all
I
goes.
Think you might want to look at it. It might even add to your...
Well, that little corner up there is for it's a heat pump farm and trash.
All the things we love.
And recycle
stuff, Jim.
I wish we could do that.
Hire an architect to make it a beautiful trash area.
a bigger attractive. With everybody from the island coming and dropping the garbage.
No.
So I got to chain everything.
We do chain it, yes.
We had talked at the last meeting, this gets into sidewalks and trails and whatever. Anything new about that?
Well,
Sportsman sidewalk,
yeah.
The trail.
I believe the engineering department didn't want to have any more people out on the road. So they, that's why they stopped and then put that crazy crosswalk in.
Yeah.
At the entrance.
Location. We do have a trail right now, and we will extend it through this buffer and wind it through just a gravel trail. There is a trail right now that runs through part of it because I give parking to the church,
right?
So that when they have overflow on Sunday, people
can. It runs all the way down.
Doesn't run all the way down. It runs short.
Just through our property, we have a trail between us and PSC, and them. There's the road.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk from this parking area to this parking area?
Oh, yeah. They'll be connected with pedestrians, but not for cars.
And this is off topic, but do you see any issues with forklifts fully clear things going through a parking structure or in a parking area?
Going through it?
Daily?
I already have it going on. So I've got the distillery that's moving grain from one building
to another building.
Yeah, there's forklifts running all over. I got coffee beans going from one building to another.
That's great.
I'm like a little policeman running around the park, saying slow down or move,
And they don't move it every day anyway.
Yeah, they don't.
I mean, there's times, but it's not a constant. They're not doing a mash, or they're not filling the hoppers or grind every day. They're not doing that.
Thinking ahead when the brewery's supplying the whole Washington State.
Well, they can pull their trucks down. They'll pull their trucks down and load and everything there. They won't forklift it back to the distillery to load there. It would just be as they brew and keg, and then it goes into aging, and then it leaves from aging in their van. And they have to drive their van down.
So this price point would be enough for them to want to store stuff there and deal with the logistics of
Most of my tenants are right now storing off-site, and they're paying more than they are for their space right here for their office and manufacturing. They're paying more for storage per foot.
Per square foot.
And they're in Paul's Bar.
It's a great business.
They're wherever.
Yeah, it's a great accommodation, and everybody's happy.
Well, it keeps the business here.
Almost.
I don't want my tenants moving out because they can't store their stuff. I do feel like it's necessary. There was originally a very different plan, and we were propositioned by a hospital to build.
Oh, is that what that that building was?
The one before.
So we were in discussion with a couple. One of the big ones in Seattle that was interested, and that's a landlord. Would love to be a the landlord or something like that. But this is much more supportive of what the existing project is.
Isn't there a little contradiction between having this gate and that gate? And look, if people are storing, this is where you're going to have your thing to let people get in. And but any guy at a forklift delivering beer can get in this way.
No, it'll have a security code to get
in. You won't be able to still get in.
It'll be a gate much like the other one to roll in there. Yeah.
It'll have to be
secure. It's nice to have one gate.
Yeah.
For these things, for sure. Okay.
Anything else? Alan?
I had a question previously. Yeah. On your landscape plan, the vegetated buffers aside, it appears that the scale of the landscaping that you're planting is very residential scale. Everything's really tiny. I mean, 1 gallon plants, 5 gallon plants, 6 foot vine maples, and you've got these massive buildings. Could you give some thought to maybe upping the scale for planting when it's first planted? Because this size of shrub planted adjacent to the side of these enormous industrial-type buildings is just very diminutive. I think that...
When I used to do the residential, my plants were a lot smaller than that.
Well, don't get me going on that.
Chuck might know.
Yeah, I have a conflict of interest. Yeah, I should stay quiet on that.
Ah.
Well, here you can't go very far because you can't see.
Doug was the developer of a neighborhood that I live in now.
Oh. Well, they certainly wrong.
You mean they overplanted it?
It's a spectacular neighborhood. But I understand the scale of the industrial building separate from a residential building. If you had your druthers and could spend a little bit more to put more substantial trees in at the start rather than a small tree.
Even clustered in key places. Yeah.
What I tried to do is use the same plants that we did in the first phase and the same size that we did in the first phase of this project. So I didn't change anything. I was simply just trying to keep consistent.
You know, the last time I was in there, I was touring the distillery, so I wasn't looking at the plants.
Doug, I'm just for that. We're here on behalf of the city, but the citizens as well. And when you think about it, and I really appreciate what you said earlier about how you have added more trees to the buffer, because you're very aware of it. It's just we wanted, from an aesthetic point, if you're driving on the highway, if you're driving on Sportsman, we understand that it's a business park, and that's great. But we also understand the nature of what we're trying to keep Bainbridge for Bainbridge, and anything that can be done to make that buffer stronger will be more beneficial. Does that make sense? Jim?
Well, just absolutely last thing. Do those indicate the roof of the...
Yeah.
See that little jog there? Got a clear story inside? Something like that.
Yes.
Something that, if you applied what you thought of doing...
It's like a little widow's peak on the existing building.
Correct.
The existing stuff.
MA-12.
It's on the main. I think it's on the landscape, but it just that MA, kind of MA that kind of move in the roof. Maybe in there on the buildings.
Would that satisfy that need?
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about
that modular. You're not talking about the side of the building, then just the
no. We're not
anything even on the roof line.
Just anything that breaks it up, and we're not talking about necessarily separate making two separate buildings and stuff like
it's
that.
It's a visual break.
Yeah, we're talking.
I can make a visual change in the roof.
That's what we're.
But if you want to change it on the side of the building, the problem is it changes
the economics.
Understood. No, we're talking about this.
Yeah, that's not a hard change.
And the storage doesn't go into the retractive stuff.
No, no. Yeah. He was thinking the hallways and stuff. No, but the roof is...
It's just some sort of, you know, when you, these things are okay, even though they're very large buildings, they have a okay scale somehow. They seem proper. These are just big plunks. So maybe that same look on these would be all, that's all we're talking about, just something like that.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Jim?
No.
Adrian? Alan? All right, Kelly, what do we do?
I think I can handle the landscape portion of it. The modulation part is a little more out of my depth as far as what design we're looking for in terms of the roof line or, it's always optimal to go for something like with a recommendation
from
DRB. It sounds like we're close.
I think we are really close, and all of you stop me if you don't think I'm growing in the right direction. But knowing that these two buildings exceed what is specified, what we're suggesting is some modification, perhaps in the roof line, to give a visual change in that straight line concept, which I think that will be with our approval.
Similar to the existing buildings of the first phase.
They're very low pitch, but we can change them so that it does have that modulation.
Just the one on the road or both?
So we're not seeking the buildings themselves to be separated. As long as there's some intentional effort at modulation.
Both buildings are just the one on the road.
Both of them have the same width issue. So
we don't have any.
From the 305, is there enough elevation on that site to see all three buildings?
You won't even see the roof, I don't think, from 305 if you've been looking through, because it is I think it's 412. It's a rather low pitch. You probably won't even see it, but that's what it takes to.
We don't have any plans, so. I understand how a storage building works, that this door is probably going into a hallway, and then there's a central hallway going through, and then the door's coming out on the other side. So one of the ways that you could start to look at modulating this is to actually use that and that, which is the same on the long elevations. You can use those areas of the buildings to potentially pull back in, potentially get a lower scale cover to the door. Just something that it would almost break the building into three pieces.
Yes. Little eyebrows.
Exactly. You've got
exactly.
It. And that would then give the opportunity to sort of break this, extremely long ridge line. Just to help you with the kind of thing talking about. We're not talking about cutting the building up into little pieces and messing up the
efficiency. That's what it sounds like at first, but I agree. Pushing back in to make
that's
little pockets.
Potentially you can
cut
those areas. You could change the color. The siding.
The siding is going to be different, just like the main project. They're all three colors. The roof, the body is two colors. Yeah. You can't see it from if you look when you go down 305 back at the existing project. You almost can't see it because they are earth tones. They're already green and brown, and they're already those colors, so they just blend. It's not going to be white, buildings with yellow trim or anything. And they're going to stick with the same colors.
No, I think that's the sort of thing that works okay.
Small thing with that caveat for the because this is our last decision for this application before it goes on.
Well, that's the question. I mean, we can't.
That's the hope.
We can. If that's your hope, I can
Well, it doesn't cover us how many times it comes back.
I think you're sensing that. I'm a little reluctant to go forward from this point to Planning Commission without the Design Review Board at least seeing a revised drawing.
You're going to have to take a revised drawing to the Planning Commission to show that it responded to any comments that the Design Review Board made. Right. Anyway,
we'll have those to you. Oh, yeah.
So,
that could be in 2 weeks at our next meeting.
Okay.
You can jump the agenda and put it in as soon as you want, so we don't.
Do you want to see it before I go to the Planning Commission? Is that correct?
I think that would be wise.
What's the time?
Are you already on the agenda?
I expect to take this for another at least another month.
Then it's fine. At our next meeting, we'll put it right on the agenda. And
okay. So maybe we'll do, just kind of quick 15 minutes to look at it.
That
would make me feel more comfortable before I go to the
Well, then you can write a report that's more supportive.
Yeah, and then I can just adjust. Yeah.
Excellent.
That
will be our next meeting. Then we can just say everything's rosy and.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, a beautiful project.
And then take our official.
Congratulations. Yeah. Success is very nice.
We're excited for it.
Good.
It's really great that you could thank you. Thank you. For your own.
Yeah, it is.
How much are you going to charge? Can people not?
I can't afford to go empty for very long at all, so I'm going to be cheaper than I was else on the island for sure.
Also, other people. Like,
it's open to the public.
It's self storage for everybody. Oh, yeah. Well, I
would move in a heartbeat if I could.
But thank you very much.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Because you're renting it by the cubic foot, not by the square foot, which is most of the
state. You're not doing
because you've got the high space.
To an office space
something.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Okay.
Thanks
for
all that. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
Sounds like we'll see you soon.
Yes.
Yep. 2 weeks.
2 weeks is our next meeting. At your pleasure, because I wasn't at the last meeting, where does anybody know where we stand on submittals? And requirements. Well, it didn't get dropped. It just sort of evaporated.
Yeah, Kathy sent it out, but it hasn't been on. It hasn't been put back on our agenda.
So we need to suggest, Jane, that at our next meeting, we look again as an agenda item the submittal requirements that Kathy and the planners have been looking at.
Yeah.
If she is available, right? Also, did we have
The only reason for getting them forward was
this is the image.
That's right.
And full adjection.
That's absolutely right. And that should be noted. It was not the fault of, it was the fault of, once, the lack of quorum, and secondly, availability. We also need to reschedule the ethics meeting.
Okay.
What do you want?
I passed out the plan. Yeah.
The ethics meeting. That also got tabled because of the lack of quorum. So we need to reschedule that as well.
And we need new members.
And I say again to the Design Review Board, please be looking for new members. We need two. It's very, very difficult. We are sneaking by, but Thanksgiving and things are coming up, and I worry that because we are so small, we aren't going to affect a quorum. So, please. Nice to have you here, Mr. Chester.
Thank you.
Anything else on the agenda? Any further discussion items? Anything we've missed? Good. Then we'll see everybody in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Alan, do you have a ride home? Or you guys?
I don't. But I always have kids at transit if no one's going to the same thing.
Kids,
yeah. In the opposite direction.
Kathy, these are Jane. These are
Leftovers.
Okay, thank you.
On Moreland and Willis?
Thank you.
So you have a ride.
In a minute. I do.
All right.